Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. As promised, Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 joins us to talk Penn State, Ohio State. It's coming off 27-26 loss with a bye week on the horizon. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check them out, GoPSURV.com. Tyler, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so I guess I got to start with the big thing first and foremost. Fourth and five, the play call, zone read to Miles Sanders. A lot of people still fired up about that today. What did you make of that call? And then I guess the aftermath and the explanation of that call.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just about as shocked as anybody else in the press box, as much as the almost 111,000 people in the stadium and the millions of people, watching on their television. It's, it's just in that situation on this night in particular, it just seemed like Trace McSorley needed to have the ball in his hand one way or another. I know Kirk Herbstreit on the broadcast was quick to point that out. And this is a guy who had accounted for 461 total yards, Penn State record. I think everyone's heard that by now. And he was just playing and running the ball so violently. And I think what makes Trace McSorley special, and it's big reason I told you last week why I was favoring Penn State in this game, is his ability to improvise, in key situations, whether that's picking it up with his legs, finding somebody, maybe his second or third read as he extends the play. And I just think it was surprising to see them trust the run game, through Miles Sanders in that situation. To that point, he had touched the ball 15 times. He had picked up 5 yards or more only four of those times. And Dustin, if you look back to last year's game, and I know that's not necessarily fair to the coaching staff, but let's face it, the defensive line for Ohio State's really had their way with Penn State against the ground game, when it comes to running backs the last 2 years. Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, they both carried the ball combined 36 times. Seven of those carries went for 5 yards or more. That's 19% of run plays from Penn State running backs in 2017 and 2018 that picked up 5 yards. I don't like those odds. I don't like those percentages. And it gets even worse, in my opinion, when you take the ball out of Trace McSorley's hands. And as far as the reaction, I thought it was quite telling that one of the first things we heard from James Franklin was the play was not the play they should have run. He said they should not have run the play, and it doesn't get more clear than that. It wasn't like they said, we got to review the film. Came in there, obviously a very emotional James Franklin in that situation, and very succinctly said that they should have went somewhere else with that play. And Trace McSorley said he was on board with it. He ran it. But that play was directed towards Miles Sanders all the way from what we learned after the game.
What do you make of the sentiment out there that's painting a pretty broad brush on the program and on James Franklin as making these types of mistakes too often, and whether coaching and in-game decision-making is going to keep the program back? I think a lot of people went to a really emotional place after this game and the way it went, and Penn State looking like the better team for most of those 60 minutes and then not coming away with a win, and really fired up that these kinds of mistakes could be made, really multiple times in the James Franklin era.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a situation like this, a game that goes so late to the night, such high stakes, a game where Penn State's winning again by two possessions in the fourth quarter, just as they were against Ohio State last year. The people are going to paint with a broad brush, and they're going to really try to generalize this. And I think James Franklin kind of added some fuel to that fire when, in the postgame press conference, he stressed on the fact that Ohio State is an elite football program. And right now he does not consider Penn State an elite program. He really came in with that talking point. Went back to it a few times during the post-game press conference, talking about just the fact that they are not focused on the little things. I think that was a little bit bizarre to some people that he brought up, classroom stuff and keeping the locker room clean. When to me, I think the dangerous thing in a game like this is when you get so knee-jerk that you that you get to the point where you're saying the season's over or this coaching regime isn't going to work. Because let's face it, it's Benjamin Victor, Ohio State's wide receiver, who makes a tremendous play that turns the game. If that ball glances off his hands and he drops the pass, are we focusing on so many of these things and amplifying them? I just think you got to be very careful. I think in the long run, in the top 10, you look at what was reflected. Penn State's number 11, they lost some ground. I believe when I look at the Vegas odds, they still are in the top 10 in terms of being able to make the college football playoff. But I think your point is well taken on in terms of the decision. And I think that's something that not just James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie are going to have to live with, but I think it's something that's going to be brought up, pretty frequently to even Trace McSorley, at different times of this year. And I think it's one of those plays that whenever we talk about Ohio State, Penn State, we're going to discuss that moment. And I think we're going to talk about when Penn State gave the ball back to Ohio State, for their 97-yard, touchdown drive. They opted to punt. They had a pretty manageable fourth down situation on Ohio State's 37-yard line. You've got a one-score lead. Ohio State just drove the ball on you on their last possession. How much do you trust your defense at this point? A lot of those guys have been logging a lot of reps, more than they had all season on the defensive side of the football. Again, that's a situation where I think there's going to be a lot of second guessing. Certainly it's validated, but you also have to keep things in perspective of where this program was, 2 years ago to where it is now. I think they have made a lot of strides. To me, this isn't some kind of tremendous setback that shows you that Penn State isn't ready for the big time. But yeah, it shows you that the staff they've got to carry that with them. And the fact is, Dustin, Urban Meyer has lost three Big Ten games in 2012 when he came to Ohio State. One of those was against James Franklin. You can make a strong argument that James Franklin should have a three-game win streak against Ohio State right now. Not the case, and that's where you're going to have to look in the mirror.
The fact Penn State should have a three-game win streak to some is both a positive and a negative as we come out of that loss to Ohio State. Talking to Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. On the contrary, I think, in some respects, I know you're at home, and I know the crowd's working for you. I know that you're playing up, you're energized and all that. But, through 4 weeks, there were a lot more cases where Penn State was playing teams, and I thought they had no business being in this game at all. And then they did, showing they could do what they did, especially in the first two-plus quarters of that game. The defense – really came to play early on, and I just didn't see that coming. What did you make of, I guess, that hot start and then the adjustment by Ohio State to start hitting them with all those screens and short passes? And I guess Penn State's inability to stop those in the end was a big factor in the game.
Yeah, I think if we can kind of take ourselves out of the moment a little bit and kind of see where we were at on the morning of September 2nd after that Appalachian game and what a scare that was, and seeing the defense give up four touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I think a lot of people at that time really felt nervous about the Ohio State game. Really felt like the Buckeyes might come into Beaver Stadium and take it to the Nittany Lions. It was a very different scenario in that first half. And, the thing about it was Penn State up 13-0 with a couple minutes left in that half. Miles Sanders' fumble was so huge. I remember turning to my colleague Mark Brennan in the press box and saying, Penn State's on a roll. They can get a field goal or a touchdown out of this. Can you imagine they go in the locker room 16-0, 20-0? Instead, there's a fumble, Ohio State scores, and it's a 13-7 game, and boy, did that feel a lot different. I think the defense, you certainly got to give a lot of credit to the concentration they must have applied in practice. Preparing for an Urban Meyer-led team is never easy, and Dwayne Haskins has been on fire. I think they did a really nice job, staying within their gap integrity up front, particularly early. And I thought overall, the defensive backfield did its part early as well. And I mean, when I say early, I'm really talking probably the first 40 minutes of this game. To me, I think we saw a lot less defensive players, and I'm sure you noticed this too, Dustin. And I think by the time it got to the point where Ohio State was starting to string together some of these series, they missed the field goal. of course, but that was a nice drive for them. They had a 13-yard drive to open the half. They had those two in the fourth quarter. I think it really started to drive down. Defensive tackle, we saw C.J. Thorpe, who just last week was listed as a second-team guard. We saw him in there at crunch time at defensive tackle. You know, we saw a lot of reps for the same defensive backs, John Reed, probably getting the most play we've seen this season. I just think they were worn down, and the arsenal of offense that Ohio State has, you just can't have lapses. They're going to get after you, whether it's Paris Campbell, J.J. Hill, J.K. Dobbins. There's a reason Ohio State is that lead program, because they've been recruiting like it, developing talent like that since Urban Meyer got there. So I think when we look at it, Dwayne Haskins, it was exactly how I thought. I thought he was going to look rattled. I thought people were going to be surprised how rattled he looked. This is a chance for Penn State. The one thing they didn't capitalize on, I thought, was maybe getting an opportunity to hit him. You know, I think that would have been a tipping point. They didn't get some shots on him. I think he was able to find some confidence, get that momentum. And we saw it. They had been kind of that dink and dunk philosophy and approach, but it worked well. And if you can get these guys in spaces, that's huge. Very much like on the other end, Dustin, KJ Hamler, he's a guy that you can get in space on that final drive. It doesn't have to be a 30-yard bomb. You can get him the ball 5 yards from scrimmage, let him do the work. And I thought his absence was pretty key there late in the game, while Ohio State, you know, had their group of game changers who did change the game in the fourth quarter.
Just about 40 seconds here, Tyler. Trace McSorley, have you seen him any better than he was Saturday night?
No way. No, and I can tell you in person, I'm not sure I've seen a more impressive effort from a quarterback in terms of just putting a team on his shoulders. And I also have to say, had not seen Trace McSorley that visibly angry and emotional and frustrated in a post-game situation during my time on campus, but he never threw anyone under the bus. Took ownership of the offense. He took ownership of helping his team move forward. He echoed a lot of what James Franklin said in terms of making that leap to the elite category. And this guy, I think people are really – I know people miss Saquon Barkley because he was so fun to watch, and he was also a great young man. I think people aren't really grasping how much they're going to miss Trace McSorley on the field, off the field, and Ohio State kind of encapsulated everything that this kid is about.
286 passing yards, 175 rushing yards for McSorley in that game. What an amazing performance. I hope people take that with them going forward. That's Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stick around. We got Ask Greg. One more segment coming up. Your Penn State football and recruiting questions will be answered. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.